in your Bible at the 22nd chapter of Revelation, beginning of that first verse, and hold it there just a moment, will you? Our subject is Paradise Regained. In our studies of the 22nd chapter, 21st chapter of Revelation, we've given you a description of the New Jerusalem, the capital city of the New Earth, which is as a bride adorned for a husband. The first five verses of the 22nd chapter of Revelation continues the description of this eternal city. John first saw the outside of the city from a distance. Therefore, he does not tell us too much about the interior of that city, except that it is a city of transparent gold, and the light of it is the glory of the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb, which is also the temple of it. In the 12th chapter of 1st, 2nd Corinthians, we have the record of the Apostle Paul, whether in the body or out of the body, who was transported to the third heaven and was permitted to see the transcendent things that he was not permitted to tell. So in the Apostle John's vision of this New Jerusalem, he doesn't tell us too much about the internal economy of the city. Now let's turn to the 22nd chapter of Revelation and read the first five verses, which gives us a fuller outlook into this everlasting, eternal new city. To me, we are talking about precious things, and I cherish every thought because it's going to be my future home. I want to find out everything I can about the home where I'm going to spend eternity. Don't you? So listen while we read. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. What scripture! Aren't these precious words? Have you ever just sat down and read them and meditated upon them and weighed every word? And when you do, you'll find that redemption ends in the same manner in which human history began. The history of the human race began with a paradise where there was no sin, perfect innocency, and perfect walk with the Lord Jehovah. Then history moves out through strange and untried paths over centuries and millenniums until it comes back to the point from which it started, a paradise. In Genesis, we find paradise lost. In the closing chapters of Revelation, we find paradise regained. Genesis is a book of beginnings. Revelation is a book of endings. The consummation of all events that began in the book of Genesis finds its fulfillment in the last two chapters of Revelation. Ponder this great fact. In the Garden of Eden, there was the age of innocency. Then came the long and dreary time of sin and corruption. But praise the Lord, here in the closing verses of the book of Revelation, the time of innocency returns to depart no more, because we find redemption complete. In Revelation 22:1, John said, the angel showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Here we see that the new city is not without its water supply. The name of this river flowing out from beneath the throne of God is the water of life. The scripture says, it is pure water, that is, there's nothing in it to contaminate it. It is water suited for the inhabitants of that city. does not carry any death germs whatsoever. Then this river of water is also described as clear as crystal. Get this now. The streets of gold are described as crystal, transparent gold. Therefore, this water is so clear, so pure, until it was shined like diamonds. The glory of the Lord shines upon it, and it throws back the reflection of the glory of the Lord God of heaven and the Lamb thereof. We know that water is one of the gladdest things on earth. It's one of the most cherished things of all the elements. Man can live without food much longer than he can live without water. There is nothing in this world that is as precious as a glass of cold, sparkling water to a thirsty, dry, burning individual. So this city would not be complete without its water supply. In the first paradise in Genesis 2:10, we find a river that went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it parted and became into four heads. So the new paradise will have its river of the water of life. This is a heavenly river. It belongs to the new city and is for the use and enjoyment of a heavenly people. Its waters are literal waters and belong to the golden city. We as sons of God traveling through this wilderness below, looking for that city, will never know such waters until we reach that city. Then we'll enjoy such a blessing. David said in Psalms 46:4, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. Therefore the new earth, with its new city, will not be a place of dust and drought, but it'll have its overflowing river proceeding out, get it now, of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And the waters will be pure and clear as crystal, that is, shining like a lamp and cannot be defiled. That word, clear as crystal, the Greek word is the word we get our word lamp from. There are the immortal waters for the joy of the glorified saints made bright with the light of God. Let me call your attention again to the fact that this water is called the water of life, and it comes out of the throne. That is the reason it's the water of life, given to the inhabitants of God Himself. This water is enjoyed by the inhabitants of this new city, and the blessings of which will be bestowed upon the inhabitants of the whole new earth. It's this river of life that will furnish the water supply for the entire earth. Now you notice this. Get this. We notice that one of the descriptions was that there'd be no more seas. And that's the reason. There'll be no more seas on the new earth. Because when you think of a sea or an ocean, then you think of briny waters with all types of chemicals unfit for use. All of that will be done away with in the new earth. And God will supply the inhabitants of the entire new earth with the water of life that will flow out directly from under His throne. Won't that be wonderful? Can a human mind conceive of such a blessing and such a joy? I can faintly spiritually taste of that water, but to describe it, there's no language, and John didn't attempt to describe it. But if you'll turn with me to the 16th chapter of Luke, you'll find a different picture. In contrast to this water supply of this new city, the rich man in hell cried for Lazarus to bring him one drop of water to cool his tongue, for he said, I'm tormented in these flames. If that is so now in Hades, the spirit world for the damned, what will it be in the lake of fire, where death and Hades will be cast forever and forever? Oh, awakened sinner, if you could just believe the word of God, if you could just see where you're going, to an endless torment where there'll be no water, Not even one drop to cool your parched tongue. Remember, friend, when you lie on the sick bed, your body burning with fever, or recovering from a severe surgery, your one cry is water. 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 Nurse, please bathe my lips with cold water. They are so parched. Then remember then, think about the eternal lake of fire, where there be no water. Not one drop of water with which your burning thirst may be quenched. Have you ever read the story of a man lost in the desert, where the burning sun has dehydrated him until he sees nothing but a mirage? And as he staggers toward it, his one cry is, water, 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 water. Then to think that you'll stagger through the flames of hell throughout eternity crying, water, 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 water. Now turn your thoughts to the city of God. And behold, here a river of pure water, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and the Lamb. Waters running down every street in the city. Waters running for the pleasure and joy of the glorified saints. Waters for those who have been redeemed with the blood of Christ. Waters for those who one day realized they were lost and on the road to an endless hell. Those who did not trifle with their souls, but those who thirsted after Christ and wanted Him above everything else. Waters for that thirsty soul that turned to Christ and God saved him. My friend, it's that individual who will drink at the river of the water of life. Because God's Word says, they shall never thirst. I wish I could reach out there in Radio Land and take you by the hand and say, sister, brother, my child, my son, my Edward, let's come on to Christ. Let's come to Christ. I'm glad the Lord saved me. I am. One day the Lord Jesus Christ was standing there in Jerusalem during one of the feast days, and He stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this water will flow out from the throne of God and the Lamb, and we'll drink and never thirst. As we have looked at this river of the water of life, that I believe the greatest time we'll have is walking down the banks of the river of life, marveling, wondering in amazement that God saved us, and singing, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Can you sing that? You might sing it better than I can. Can you sing it? Now let's look again at that river. And we see, listen, in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare the 12 manner of fruits and yielded our fruit every month. Every lover of nature loves trees. And what is more beautiful than a tree? They add charm and joy to our world and are refreshing to the humdrum of a busy city. New Orleans is noted for trees. This recent hurricane called Betsy wrecked over 200,000 trees in the city of New Orleans. And they say it'll take some 10 years for them to be replaced. But in the city of God, there will be no hurricanes. We note in Genesis 2:9 that the first Eden had its beautiful trees. And in the midst or among the trees was the tree of life. This tree of life was not just an individual tree, but a particular tree, a particular kind of tree. Just as we would speak of a peach tree or a maple tree, the tree of life was the name of that particular kind of tree. So we see in the first Eden, it was called the tree of life. Adam and Eve in their innocency would have preserved their lives by eating of the fruit of those trees known as the tree of life. It was a symbol and support of eternal life, both for body and soul. That's the reason they were driven out of the garden. Because if they had eaten of that tree in their sinful, depraved, fallen body, they would have lived forever in that fallen state. Can you imagine what type of a world we would have if everybody who had been born from Adam until now was still living at this time? One day, someone called me and said, "Pastor, you know so-and-so died." I said, "Well, praise the Lord." That person was a wicked reprobate who had hindered and blocked the work of God for years. And I said, death is a blessing. And I praise God that men and women who hate God and will not turn to Christ for salvation, there's an end to their wicked lives even in this life. So we see in the New Jerusalem, the capital city of the New Earth, the return of this tree of life, fulfilling somewhat the same purpose that it did in the first garden. The Apostle John said he saw the tree of life in the midst of the street of the city, on either side of the river. We get a picture here that the river of life flows down by the side of every golden street and boulevard in this golden city. And on either side of the street down which the river of life flows, you'll find the tree of life. Let me call your attention to this fact. Now you listen to me now, will you? The Apostle John did not mention seeing any boats along the bank of this water of life. And the reason for it is that in our new resurrected bodies, we'll be able to walk on the waters as Christ walked on the waters. Therefore, we'll walk from one bank to the other with just the ease that Christ walked over the Sea of Galilee. Won't that be wonderful? I am rejoicing in these great facts about my new home. Is it your new home? But you know, so many who even claim to be saved are so tied down to this earth in their thinking until they cannot perceive or believe what the Bible says about the new order or things in the new world. Therefore, they are ready to jump up and say, "Well, I don't believe such and such a thing that John tells us about this new city. I cannot perceive, my friends, I cannot perceive in full the joys and comforts and pleasures that God, by His infinite grace, has provided for His children in and through and by the Lord Jesus Christ. But I believe what God says here. I'm rejoicing in the fact that one day I'm going to live in that city and be partakers of everything that God's provided for His children. I know the marvel is that I'll get there. I know I'll wonder throughout eternity why God loved me like that and saved me, gave me my new body, and gave me such a home to live in throughout eternity. I know it'll be a marvel, but it'll all be of His grace." The seer goes on to say that the tree of life produces 12 fruits. Now, I want you to get this now. Are kinds of fruits, and this they do every month. That is, yield their fruit according to each season, a different kind of fruit each month. These are fruit-bearing trees. They're first of all for the joy and blessedness of the inhabitants who will live in this holy, eternal city. The tree of life is to beautify our eternal home and to add to our happiness. Then they bear their fruit each month, which also adds to the happiness and joy of God's children. What type of fruit? I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. It will not be the fruit of good and evil, but the fruit of the tree of life. Because the days of good and evil are over, they will produce fruit for glorified saints. I've often been asked the question, will the glorified saints eat in heaven? The Bible certainly teaches that they do. They'll find, you'll find all through the Old Testament that the heavenly visitors ate earthly food, and Christ said over and again that I'll not eat with you till I eat with you in my Father's kingdom. And he likened salvation to feasting in a banquet or killing the fatted calf. Therefore, everything points to the fact of eating and drinking in the new city. The eating of the fruit in the first paradise was associated with the fellowship of life. But sin cut man off from it. Since then, man through grace has looked forward to readmission to that tree, according to Revelation 2:7. Listen, to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Revelation 22:14, blessed are they which do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life. Now, I'm going to sit under that tree. I'm going to pluck fruit from that tree one day. Just as the showbread, which ever remained in the tabernacle of the temple, was to be eaten by the priest, so the tree of life stands in the street of the new city, bearing its different variety of fruits, every month to be eaten by the king priest of heaven. Now let's notice another thing about the tree of life, and that is the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Who gathers these leaves, how they are applied, and the healing work they do, John does not tell us. The word of God is silent, so let us not speak. The nations of the earth do not eat of the fruit, but they receive the benefit from the leaves, because it says the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Now, you straighten up in your chair and hold your seat, will you? Just straighten up now and you listen. There are two classes of people distinctly recognized in the new heaven and the new earth. There'll be the class of glorified saints in the city who eat of the tree of life, and there'll be the inhabitants of the earth, spoken of as the nations, who get the leaves of the tree for healing purposes. We have found in our study that the inhabitants of the new earth, called the nations of the new earth, are those left of the nations after God destroys all the rebels, according to Revelation 29. God, in his own miraculous way, will save these redeemed nations when he destroys this old earth by fire and will replace them upon the new earth. Now you get this. Hold it now. Hold it. And they shall replenish and repopulate the new earth. Let me tell you something, my friend. God's going to have a holy people upon this earth who will populate not only this new earth, but I believe will populate the universe. Just as he gave orders to Adam and Eve to go out and replenish the earth, so these new nations, redeemed, holy, apart from the bride of Christ, apart from the glorified saints, will populate this earth with a holy people where there be no sin and there be no curse. We just well to face facts. I know this raises many questions, but the inhabitants of the new earth, which are a class of people distinct from the glorified saints of the new city, will live in their innocency. Therefore, the leaves of the tree of life are for the healing of these nations that shall occupy the new earth. Not that there be any sickness, but to preserve them in health, as Adam would have been preserved in health if he'd eaten of the tree of life in the Garden of Eden instead of the tree of the fruit of the good and evil, according to Genesis 3:21, and live forever. Let me say it again. The fruit of the tree of life will be eaten by the glorified saints of the new city, and the nations of the earth will partake of the leaves of the tree of life, and the leaves will be for their eternal sustenance. Now you let that soak in. Paradise is going to be regained, and God is going to carry out his eternal purpose in having a holy people who will repopulate this earth and where there be no sin. And he said, listen, notice that third verse, and there shall be no more curse. Sin and all its consequences shall be no more. The first paradise was glorious indeed, but with all of its gloriousness and blessedness, sin was permitted to enter into it, and the curse fell upon our foreparents, and as a result, the earth and man has been laboring and sighing and sorrowing under this curse for nearly 6,000 years. But here's an emphatic statement. There shall be no more curse. Thank God, there won't be. There won't be. Listen again. And the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servant shall serve Him. Here we have a statement of a glorious throne. At this present time, there's a throne of the universe where the Lord Jesus Christ sits to the right hand of the Father and reigns. And then when we open the fourth chapter of Revelation, you come to another throne that's set up there. And Him that sitteth on it is like a jasper stone that guts this old Christless, godless earth. And then you find that in the 19th chapter, it seems that that throne fades away, and you have the thrones there in heaven with the glorified saints. And then in the 20th chapter, you have the great white throne. But here we notice a single throne on which sits God and the Lamb and the Lord Jesus Christ. Get it now? In the eternal Godhead rules and reigns forever and forever. I'm going to be there, you.